Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as usual. And I'm so happy to be here today because not only do I get to hang out with an amazing panel, I get to hang out with an amazingly patient panel. We're starting a little bit late because my previous event ended up running a little bit long. And when I say a little bit long, I mean half an hour.
Well, but for the people listening to this like in recorded form, they wouldn't know. It starts right on time, right on the time that they wanted to listen to it.
Oh, well, then let me try that again. I'm so happy to be here with this amazing panel that is prompt, just like me. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I had actually a good day, and I have my tea. It is freezing here. We just talked about it in the pre-show. It's like around like 0 degrees. Like 32 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the easy one, like easy conversion. Zero.
That's 32. The easy one.
I'm good. I'm very like I had a really good Christmas. I went to a really good Christmas market in Salzburg last Saturday.
Nice.
It was amazing. Like it was like it's one of those Christmas markets that like you would see in movies. Like beautiful old buildings, churches and lights and all those stands and music, live music everywhere, and like and like tons of people, none of that. So, and I bought some earrings and some other stuff as you do, and some food and some drinks. I had some Glühwein, so it was good. And then this week we're going to Vienna, so
that's
looking
awesome.
Forward to that.
You know, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a sucker for the holiday festival.
Me too.
Events. And I remember several years ago, I was in Philadelphia in December, and they have just a wonderful German Christmas.
Christmas market?
Market. Yeah, I kept wanting to say carnival, but market. Yes.
It's a carnival too. Yeah,
it's a carnival too. And I've been to some really cool ones here in Boulder and down in Denver. Mm-hmm. The synagogue, one of the synagogues that's here in Boulder, they do a really cool holiday event also.
Nice.
And that one's always worth going to.
Mm-hmm.
And the mosque that's here, they actually do several public events throughout the year, and every single one of them is worth going to because it's just they're always just these wonderful community events. So
yeah, you do all be a good
sounds
one.
Awesome.
A good one to,
yeah. So bring on all of these holiday markets and carnivals. And just tell me when they are, and I'm going to be there. They're just awesome.
I'm totally with you. I should say, not every Christmas market here is a Christmas market. Some call them, like, nowadays, they're winter markets or something like that, which I really like. They're being like, okay, like, it doesn't have to be Christmas. It can be just celebrating winter and everything.
Yeah.
The center of the city where I live is the main sort of thoroughfare through the shops has all been turned into a big sort of Christmas market. And the world is dog and their mates have all come to pot around and get and buy various tat for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So people are enjoying it.
Awesome.
I'm just grumpy because it makes it harder for me to get around the city when I want to go.
Well, you have an excuse to stop and experience something different and then show up late to the other thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's
true.
Yeah. Exactly. And Ian, how are you?
I'm really good, sir. I'm really good. Nice, quietish week, pottering around doing jobs. I've got a new monitor. This is a good thing. I'm reveling in more space on my monitor. I went for the ultra wide sort of 32 inch thing.
Nice. Several years ago, I did that. I went with an ultra wide. Mine's, what is it? It's a HP Z34C, so 34 inches.
Mm, yeah, same
and
as this guy.
And it's a curved display, and it just totally changed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, I mean, there's a, I've got a cool thing that will, that's a good add-on for when you've got one of these, but particularly for me, because I spend a lot of my day presenting. But the amount of windows I can kind of have dotted around the screen, particularly with sort of normal Mac productivity kind of workflow, the way you work rather than in Windows with everything maximized, you tend to have sort of things dotted around the place. That was really great with us.
Yep. And we might as well do a smooth transition. Speaking of great, Dave, how are you?
Nice transition. Doing good. Glad to be here. Had a little extra time this afternoon here, and was happy to come on with you kids and have some fun here.
That's awesome. It's a fun surprise for me because this means I get to hang out with you twice today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for everyone that's wondering, well, what's the second time? That'll be later today when Dave does In Touch with iOS, and I'll be on that with him.
I had a different thought, but okay.
Okay.
I'll take your theory.
What's yours? Because if it's better, we'll roll with that.
I was like wondering, did they wake up in the same bed this morning and then had breakfast together or something? The second time we're seeing each other now.
Well, you never know, and I will say I make a really good breakfast.
Mm. Yeah. I have to try that one day.
Yeah, I don't make coffee because I don't drink it. So
that's fine. You're good with me.
I'm fine with tea.
Okay, then we can all wake up together, and everyone will be happy. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You got a kettle. I'll be fine.
Totally BTM Christmas, all getting together.
That's right. We'll all snuggle up together and wake up and make a great breakfast together. It'll be wonderful.
That sounds awesome.
Hey, before we dive into the topics, I do want to remind everyone, we need more money coming in for the daily news show. We have enough money coming in that Kyle's able to do the show 2 days a week, which is not the same as a daily news show. So, what we need is to have a goal that we can all see and reach. And that goal is $400 a month. So we need to double what we're bringing in. That will give us the money we need to make the show run and give us a little bit extra in case some costs go up for running the show. So everyone that's already sending money in, thank you so much. You are the reason why the Daily News Show is happening. For those of you that are in a position where you can send some money in, but maybe you're not yet, well, think about it. And then you can be part of making that show happen too. It would be a shame to let it just slip away after more than 13 years. It's wonderful. Kyle's awesome. So much useful news. And it's just there when you get up in the morning. So let's get more money coming in for the Daily News Show and keep that show running. All right. With that out of the way, I think it's time for some news. So who has the first story?
Who goes first?
Oh, go on. I'll throw this one in. It's a lightish one because I'm bored of Elon Musk.
Let's have this instead.
I'm way bored of Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And
so tell us about this. It's a Google story, which at least it's not Elon Musk.
It's not Elon. I'm sure he can find some way of linking himself to this, but I'm not giving him the publicity. This came out a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't. I think other stories popped up and I didn't get to use it, so I thought I'll bring it back this week. It's a load of little updates that have been made to the Google Maps algorithms and search engines. You can do clever things like take a picture of your food and it will find you a local restaurant that serves that food. How does that not sound cool? How's that not cool? A lot of the map stuff now, they're doing a load of things about fuel efficiency as well. Because I mean, I've seen that one turn up myself when I plan a route now. It will choose the most efficient route rather than the fastest necessarily now. And it will tell me how much fuel I will save by traveling in on that route. Now, that's really nice in our current times. So those are a couple of things I can't particularly like, but it does seem to be that Google Maps is once more starting to get useful. I know whenever I search for things on Google Maps, it's generally more reliable than Apple, sadly. I wish Apple's was better because I quite like, I mean, I used Apple Maps for directions the other day, and it, the some of the directions were a lot better in terms of the audio direction,
yeah.
which lane to be in. Google is crap at that. And it's also dreadful at being able to read signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If only you could actually like find the destination in Apple Maps. Like, yes. Getting there, not a problem. Finding it,
yeah, it is.
Unless you know the exact address, then it's easy. Mm. Yeah. But I mean, about that search feature. Like, what I want to do is take like Star Trek food, like space food, and put it in yes. Google Maps and see what it does with it.
The like, scary thing would be is if it took you someplace where you could actually get
Google Lens translation. Also, it'll do things for. Cool.
I know there's like 10 forward or something. Where you could probably
yeah.
get something.
Oh, you could. Yeah. You got a machine like, that makes food as well.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. I want that.
And you can also get the AR stuff's also rolling out as well. So if you're in the US, there's various brands of shoe you can actually see using the AR features, which is kind of neat.
Mm.
Yeah,
and for those of us that use makeup, which that will be you, Patrice. Although I don't know about Jeff, you can. There's a thing whereby you can try colors of makeup and then transpose. Mm. I mean, that probably already exists. I would have thought.
Oh, that has existed for a while. Yeah.
And it will transpose it like, with augmented reality over your face. I mean, yeah. These are all nice little things that make technology doing nice technology things.
There's a lot of clothing brands that are doing that, like also for glasses and so on. You can drag whatever try on your. The new sunglasses before you order them. I think Warby Parker does that, for example.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, they do. Yeah, and Amazon's been doing the virtual clothes thing for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, it's nice. And then there's also another one where they're, if you're running an electric vehicle now, you've got really good search for that. My son was showing me that when he brought his ID3 down, but it's really cool for that. You can whack in. You can easily whack in sort of charging station. It will give you all the locations for the local ones.
Yeah.
And what type of charges are there?
Example for software where, like, if only it was working properly and you could, like, search for the thing you were looking for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If only. The ID3 is not known for good software, so.
No, my son said no problems with his. It's been really good car.
He said just connect CarPlay and then you're fine.
Yeah, it's been a really good car, he says. I mean, the only thing he has to do, he spends 5 minutes turning all the lane detection stuff and things like that. I mean, it's fine if you travel on freeways and busy dual car and busy main roads, the lane detection thing, particularly if you travel on freeways.
Mm-hmm.
If, like him, you live in rural Scotland, it doesn't
work.
Is
there even a lane?
Yeah, exactly. Some of the roads, well, some
there
of the roads
is. You travel. But it's one lane for everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Some of the little metal, what they call military roads, because they were all laid out originally for the army to use, some other ones, they are a single track.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come to the wider two-lane stuff, which is normal. Even then, the whole lane detection, automatic braking stuff all gets awfully confused with some of the directions of the roads because it's far more wiggly than just a straight road that goes along for miles and miles. Mm-hmm. He says he's got, I'd say he spends half the time turning it all off. I mean, roads around by me aren't much better, but we don't have freeway everywhere.
Right, because it's not the United States.
It's not the United States.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure it works beautifully there, but here it's...
Yeah. And the first time I understood the Tesla autopilot was the first time I was driving on a highway or freeway in the US. It is just straight and wide and nice lines and nice signage and quite easy to drive. So I'm like,
it would work there. It would work there. It's designed for there and it would work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, a lot of cars now are using radar radar cruise control and all that sort of thing. And that's all great.
Mm-hmm.
But our roads are still not as wide and as ordered and as controlled as a freeway is in some ways. And from my experience traveling,
you're lucky when you have lines, even on like a multi-carriage. Like,
it just, I just don't like that. I'm a Luddite. I just don't like all these things.
Mm-hmm. I like them if they work.
I've got two eyes. I've got two eyes.
Which is usually
I'm driving my car. I'm not having something else drive it for me. Yeah. If you're going to do that, you've got to go the whole hog. I need to sit in the back, be able to read my book, and you're taking me somewhere. I don't want to be kind of semi in control. That's not worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I want to be sat. I want to be sat in the back, snuggled up with a wife, or reading a book, or reading a book, or something. Mm. I don't want to be
half of the problem. Why I don't
have
like
to worry about what's going on? That's not my problem. You're taking me somewhere. I want a chauffeur. Mm. I do.
Me too. For me,
an intelligent chauffeur. That's fine. Yeah. I'll have that.
For me, the ultimate luxury, not having to drive anywhere.
Mm. You know, living in the U.S., I can absolutely appreciate that, especially living in a part of the U.S. where public transportation is practically an oxymoron.
yes.
And I have
your,
to say...
Your town, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah, Chicago. There's also a really nice train from Chicago to Denver. So.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ride. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Denver, Boulder, these are not public transportation meccas. It certainly made me appreciate London when I visited, and mm-hmm. I didn't need a car, ever.
Yeah. Talk about Phoenix. 4.5 million people, one single tram line. No underground, no nothing, no subways, nothing.
Yeah.
To tell you something.
Yep. All right, I do have one. Legit thought on the Google Maps thing. A lot of people look at Apple Maps still and say it's a joke, it's worthless, it doesn't work, and I disagree with that.
I disagree.
It definitely had some growing pains, but when I look at what Google is doing with Google Maps today, to me it says the competition that Apple is providing with Apple Maps is helping incentivize Google to continue to add new, useful, interesting features to Google Maps. And yeah. And I expect that we will continue to see more happening with Apple Maps and with Google Maps as well. And in the end, we all win because both platforms will improve and we get more features.
Yeah, we totally need competition.
Indeed.
Yep. Yep.
Competition is what the market wants, particularly with the mapping software. Otherwise, it's again another one of these one-horse races. But because they bought Waze, and I think Waze is still used. It's still the Google engine that's going to be driving it now, isn't it? And just their algorithms in terms of working out routing and stuff. And I think that's getting ported into into Google Maps, to the point where eventually it will just be, and that will be gone then, and we'll be left with just Google Maps. So.
At some point, Google will realize, oh, we still have Waze here. Hmm, we should probably shut that down.
Yeah, they probably will. That's usually what happens, isn't it?
That's the Google way.
I keep worrying that's what they're going to do with GCP and all the companies that have decided to go use Google Cloud Platform. But suddenly going to go, where did that go? When I get bored of it, so I'm never entirely convinced.
Yeah, that's a problem thing. No, I'm with you, Jeff. I think, it definitely had growing pains like Apple Maps, but it's, for me, works quite well. Even in Europe where, like Austria, data is not as good as in Europe.
It works here, and I was using it the other day, and it actually had a sensible set of directions. Mm-hmm. Which says, not the first turning, but the next one. Not the first set of lights, but the next set of lights turn right. And that's, kind of natural language direction, not sort of which set of lights is it, which one,
yeah, kind in of thing. In 723 meters turn right,
yes,
what is that, 723
right
meters?
Yep.
And then there's a sign that says southeast
ocean
and there's a sign that says south, that says SE for southeast. So we're hearing every time you go past that sign, Google says sa. Oh, you might get out by now. No,
it's just awesome.
And we used to have the main motorways here, the A1, the main freeway. The one's called the A1, and so it will be called the A1. But that eventually did get fixed.
Artificial intelligence, not quite so intelligent after all.
No, early on, it was. Well, early on, it was quite.
To be fair, Jeff, it's modeled after us, so.
Yep. it all makes sense now. Yep. All right, who has the next story?
I can go. Elon Musk. Oh, wait, we don't want to talk about him.
We can.
although he might have caused this, who knows? LastPass, again, has a data breach. exposes some customer information. It's another data breach, but this time it exposed user data. And, you know, of course, the LastPass CEO, Kareem Toba, hackers access third-party cloud storage service used by password manager that they were able to gain access to certain elements of customer information. Another reason why I am so proud, and I'm sure you, all of us here, use 1Password.
I don't, but I use it.
I don't.
I use
some of you.
I've written my own. So.
I know you switched off.
And I use Bitwarden, which is open source. And
but this is just, this could be the beginning of the end with LastPass, because I mean they were dominant in the last few years.
That's where I started.
Yeah.
And up to a couple of years ago, was the one if someone said to me, what are these password manager things in? Which one should I get? LastPass was always one of the ones, 1Password or LastPass were the ones I'd recommend. Yeah. Biggest players in the market, you know, at the time. But are they still owned by GoToMeeting or one of those companies?
Isn't it LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. Oh, is it? I thought it was
I think they got bought by LinkedIn, I believe.
Which actually is Microsoft.
Which is Microsoft, yeah.
I don't know, maybe not LinkedIn. It was probably...
Log me in.
That's what I was thinking.
Something with those.
Yeah, one of those kind of online sort of...
But I mean, happened to you once, shame on you. It happens again twice, shame on you. Beyond...
It gets weird.
I mean, this is horrible.
To some extent, it is inevitable.
Yeah.
If you store your passwords online in a central store, at some point, someone will figure out a way to crack it. No matter how good your security is, no matter how you try to protect it, if it's stored on a server and someone can get to it, they will eventually.
Yeah. I guess they've gotten the most press of this.
Yeah.
For a while, you don't hear Bitwarden being a problem. You don't hear 1Password, for that matter, to be of a much of a problem. So.
Yeah.
Patrice's password manager, not a problem.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. Also not available yet, but also not a problem.
She's going to be a rock star and be releasing her software and selling millions.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I don't have to. No, but it is, I mean, as I said, I've tried them all, and LastPass's thing was the convenient. You can go to a website and log in. Mm-hmm. That unfortunately means there is a default gate that you can open.
Mm.
And I don't know even how they got to that data. There's like a million other options how you can get to it. If there is a central server somewhere, it's a target. I mean, ask any big company, ask Amazon data centers. If there is a server, there is a target, and you have to be okay with that. So I don't honestly. I mean, people are making saying, "Oh, this is a big deal," and whatever it is. But it was, for me, it's not, because I it was totally foreseeable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I dropped an article into the chat of. Which password managers have been hacked?
Mm-hmm.
2014, LastPass, OneLogin, Need My Password, Password Bots, RoboForm, all have been done over. KeePass, LastPass, then in 2015. LastPass again in 2016, LastPass again in 2017.
To be fair, some of those hacks were for whatever, the account portal or whatever.
To be fair, in 2016 was a bumper year for...
Mm.
Because even Keeper, F-Secure, KeepSafe, Advanced, and 1Password all got compromised in some manner.
Yeah.
I presume they've all been comprehensively fixed.
There is no 100% guarantee. Even 1Password, I mean, I know they're doing a lot of things to ensure safety. Even they could get hacked. It might be really hard, and it might require someone who is incredibly skilled or is whatever country, China or Russia. And it is possible.
Mm-hmm. It does make you think about the devices like the YubiKey type devices, all of those where it's a little bit safer, a physical security device.
Now, one question I have about about security keys, like YubiKey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm stuck with this every day.
Yeah, me too.
So what happens if hackers discover a security flaw in something like your YubiKey? Can that be firmware updated to address that security flaw?
It can. There is firmware on it, and it could, yes. But it's also very hard to exploit because it's a physical device. I mean, physical devices are, like, you can exploit, but they're harder to exploit because they're physical devices.
Because they're physical devices. Yeah, the scenario that I imagine as someone that can be the idea guy but doesn't have to be the implementer guy. So you compromise a computer in an office so that it has whatever code it needs, so that when someone plugs in a YubiKey or some other physical key, then it executes whatever code it needs to and then compromises that key.
I would say that is definitely possible. There's a lot of like protection mechanisms in place, but if there is a flaw in that, it's possible. I mean, it's the same thing that we've seen with like smartphones and their encryption. It's a hardware encryption on device. It got compromised eventually. Yeah, to the point where it's not secure anymore, and like older iPhones are not as safe. For example, and same for Android. So anything can be exploited. It's just a matter of how or if. And yeah, I mean, I know some stories like from Germany where people got access to one of the connector boxes in doctor's offices, and like physical access, and opened them up and decrypted RAM and blah, 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 and whatever, and finally got access to some keys that was used to decrypt stuff. So, physical access?
Yes, physical access, it changes all the rules.
Yep. As we always say.
Yep.
That's the weakest link.
Which for me brings up for physical office spaces, one of the problems that often gets overlooked by security teams, which is physical security for the location. And things like, you know, you have key codes and only certain people have access to certain areas. Mm-hmm. But what happens when your cleaning crew comes through and they prop a door open so that they can easily get their equipment in and out, trash in and out, and someone knows the routine and they just kind of slip on in, and now they have physical access to hardware.
Physical penetration testing is a fascinating area. I would not recommend watching stuff on YouTube about it, because you will walk around and see how weak security actually is in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like a card reader in the elevator. It's a theater. You can just bypass it, like stuff like that. It's like,
yeah.
Like or the card reader at a door, like most doors. I mean, unless they're hardened for this, it's kind of useless.
Yeah. In most cases, all you need to do is pop the cover off and like put a paperclip across the connection.
It's one example. Like a lot of doors, you can literally just like use a device to just pop the handle on the other side. They're not hardened against that. Not a problem.
I have seen those. Yes.
Yeah. Or like them. They're not installed properly, and all you need is a card. Like, and you just open it. Like, because they have to be open, like for fire safety and so on. They have to open from the inside. So once you know that stuff, it's quite interesting. And I mean, stuff like how was it called? Smishing, I think. Was that it? Or I don't remember. I think it's smishing or something like that. It's basically like you basically go in after a person who works there, and you just pretend that you're with them, and you just bypass all security. You just keep walking with them, and people will hold doors open for you. I don't remember what the term for it was. Maybe I'm.
Yeah, it's amazing where you can go if you simply act like you belong.
Oh, yes.
Yep. All right.
Oh, so smishing was text messages. Okay, that was the other one. Okay, so it was a different one. But there's a term for it, and I'm just blanking on
it. It'll come to one of us at some point. Patrice, I think we are up to your story now.
Yes, and I have a fun story. my God.
I was wondering if someone would bring this story today.
I really debated. Should I go light? Should I talk about Let's Encrypt and that? But I decided this is too important. So I think I don't know, maybe not for the first time in the world, but it feels like for the first time in the world. I don't know what China is doing. San Francisco has basically approved that a robot can be used, a remote controlled robot can be used to control, to kill suspects.
Well, that would be a form of control, very permanent.
Yeah, very permanent.
That's a final control.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's not just to kill people, it's also to incapacitate or disorient, stuff like that. At least that's what they're saying. But the City Board of Supervisors has approved that. And it's very controversial. Tom mentioned earlier, since he's a Bay Area resident. It's like, not very well received on Mastodon.
There's two sides to this kind of thing. One, you worry a little bit about, is this, you know, I've got RoboCop. He will be controlled by a human, on the other hand, generally anyway. It's not that it'll be autonomous and go away and go, oh, look,
yeah,
five targets, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And from a safety point of view for the officers in a riot situation, that's not overly a bad thing. If I can send in a robot that will launch off, that will set off some tear gas or some smoke or whatever that will dissipate the crowd, then that's got to be better than me getting beaten up or dragged into the crowd and beaten to death. So that kind of seems, I can see utility in it. I don't say it needs control in the way any other thing does. In the same way you'd send your officers in to go and shoot. Equally to send each shoot people or to disperse crowds with tear gas or water cannons or whatever it is you're doing. But it does seem like a moderately safer way to go about this.
Yes. On the other hand, I guarantee the first riot or large boisterous group, whatever your perspective is on the event, first time you roll this in to one of those, it's immediately going to be surrounded and tipped over.
Yep. That's probably going to happen.
But that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, while the SFPD says, we're also going to use other measures, the decision or the policy explicitly states that it can be used as a deadly force option when risk of loss of life to members of the public or officers is imminent or outweighs any other force option available. And that can be interpreted many ways. Like, I mean, I'm just thinking about like the school shootings like that we've had where, like in Uvalde, where officers were standing outside for forever because despite the fact that some people think, and I'm not waiting in that controversy, that it's their job to risk their lives, they were not doing it, and they were saying we're not risking our lives and this is an option. And I think the risk that a lot of people are seeing is that it gets used more and more, because it's, you know, it's the same thing with drones. Like, why risk a person when you could just send a robot in? And then it gets used more in situations where you would have maybe, I mean, despite what the policy officially says, you would have used other means to de-escalate the situation. But instead, you're like, okay, just send in the robot. Let the robot deal with it.
Right. And the robot isn't going to be able to relay all the information that a person would be able to take in if they were in that same spot. So
or get the information. Or even get the information. Like, peel, feel the room and feel what, like, what's really going on, because the robot will not be able to do that, and the camera and the microphone that are on it will not help you with that.
Right. So that changes how the police will respond to situations, mm-hmm. simply because they're getting remote relay data instead of being able to experience it firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you could. I mean, it might be a matter of how much budget does a police department have, but you could have like a million of them if you wanted to. And just like at the next protest, you just send in a million of them. Like, you're not like where there was a limit in how many police officers you had, and like sometimes you had to like calm down or like de-escalate the situation because you didn't have even the manpower to squash it. Then you're just like, okay, doesn't matter, it's a robot, just send it in.
There'll be robots and there'll be robots on the ground and drones in the air.
Yeah. I mean, that's already happening.
As a way they'll control it, whether that's good or bad, I'm not here to say, but that's what they'll do.
Mm. I mean, the drone part is already happening.
I mean, the drone parts have been happening for a while. They're using it. I mean, I occasionally watch the kind of the police type of fly-on-the-wall camera documentaries here in the UK. Mm. And now when they're trying to track down people after they've escaped from the car and they're running off into the woods, they'll use a drone. They fly out instead of having to get a helicopter out, which is expensive, fuel and everything else.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys trained with a heat-seeking camera strapped to a drone, and up it goes, and they go, and then they can lead the officers to the 15-year-old kid who's been joyriding a car around somewhere and drag him away in cuffs.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's kind of the way it goes.
Mm. Yeah.
Those kind of robots, though, if it's that kind of thing that they show in the picture at the top of the article, have been used for years for UXB, for unexploded bombs. Mm-hmm. It's what they've been used for. Safer way of saying, of not risking some poor guy's shaky hands and life disposing of a bomb. And so that they have utility, but I suppose it gives them a bit more now. They can use them as a...
But the difference is when you're like disposing bombs or whatever, you're like... disarming or you're dealing with a dangerous situation by disarming something where there is hopefully no humans involved, right? Should at least not be if you're sending in a robot to deal with a crowd or with a suspect, that is a human life that's in there, even if it's a suspect. I mean, even if someone has shot up whatever, a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
That is different.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a justice system, hopefully, in place. So as I said, I can totally understand that it's controversial. Let's put it this way. You can be on either side, but I totally understand that. When I saw that, I was like, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
It is a sucks for your teeth. I mean, I'm kind of betwixt and between, because the officer needs to have some form of protection equally as the mob does. I mean, it's they both need to have a fair go, if you like. And how can they? If you roll in a robot, again, you can't reason with a robot. I mean, you've got audio. Well, audio being relayed back to a negotiator or someone at the other side. How's that? I'm not sure how that's going to play out. If it has been relayed back to a negotiator, then hopefully they can have some form of dialogue between them and the group, and they don't need to deploy the tear gas and the machine guns. But
Ian, one thing come at it a different angle. Ian, you have a wonderful perspective on this, because you're looking at it from the perspective of someone who lives in the UK, which I think is actually a much healthier perspective
on a
situation like this than say me living in the United States. Because you know, you're looking at this and you're thinking of situations where you have a lot of people and there's a lot of crazy stuff happening. And I'm looking at this and thinking, we have a mass shooting in the United States this year. It's averaged one every 13 hours. And yeah, I know, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are not on video, I pulled a very surprised face. I never realized it was quite that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Ian's jaw practically dislocated as it dropped from his skull. So what we have is a situation where we have lots of people, individuals that act individually with lots of guns. And I see these robots being used in situations where it's not a crowd situation. It's one person, maybe a couple people. And that's just,
you're saying
I fear how that's going to play out.
It's going to be RoboCop being sent to kill a man then.
Right. So maybe instead of sending RoboCop in every time there's a man with a gun, and now I'm getting political for just a minute, maybe it's time in the United States that we look at the issue of how easily guns are obtained and the types of guns that people can't obtain. And instead of robots, maybe we should have a discussion and talk about how do we fix the problem we have where we have a mass shooting every 13 hours in 2022.
That is a really good point.
It boggles my mind. We had in the UK, to get kind of political, but to kind of give a different perspective on what happens, we had one mass shooting, most semi-automatic rifles and firearms were then immediately banned and no longer available to the general public that could go and buy in a gun shop. The second mass shooting when handguns were used, and in fact, the tennis star Andy Murray was in that school in Dunblane when that happened and survived with his life and going on to play tennis. When that happened, the government then took the same measure of semi-automatic handguns really aren't a good idea to be able to be readily available, or revolvers, or any kind of handgun that's of the size that in the States I know about things like concealed carry that you probably find a strap to the waist of your average sort of Texan American. That just can't happen here. Yeah. We don't have
they're
that
just lying
anymore.
Around on tables. By the way,
I'm sure.
I'm laughing only because I've been in houses where that's true.
Yeah,
what? There's
me
just
too.
A gun. There's
me
just
too.
A gun sat on the table.
That's
I mean that boggles my mind. Yeah. I've been a shooter here in the UK, and just this week I went to go to an air gun club, and the controls we have in place there, everything's locked away, everything's brought back out again, and it's just the words fail me. Boggles my poor little mind that.
But
you can run around with guns on your hips, and that's all kind of normal.
Yeah, and but Jeff brings
they
up
do,
a good,
Bob. But what? Good, but yeah. I like guns. I've shot now for the last 30 years. One thing or another. When I go to America, I always, if I get time, I take advantage of popping to a gun range and shoot for an hour because I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed the sport, but equally, I don't want every mouth breathing moron to have a gun on their hip.
Yeah,
I don't want a situation where someone decides and magic thinking happens, which is what I think they call it. You know, when you kind of go, I know what would be a really good idea. I could kill all the bullies in school and I'd be better then. And then they go off and a tragedy happens. And
That's true. Jeff said something that kind of one brings it back to tech, and I think it's a good point. We're again trying to solve a human problem with technology.
A very good point.
And that's a very that's probably why it's in San Francisco, because that is kind of the way things work there. But that's exactly the point. Like instead of solving the actual problem, we're just finding another tech that we think will fix it, and it will not, because how long until someone figures out a way to hack that remote controlled robot and then do a mass shooting with that?
There's another whole world of
exactly.
It comes back to the previous story where we're talking about social engineering being the thing, and again, this is the point where we need to take a step back, and it needs to be a human. Because if the Wi-Fi that controls our police robot could be hacked into by a malicious actor, and then all of a sudden they've got an autonomous machine they could send around killing people, Yeah. It's again. I mean, there's the next movie. Yes, there's 10 movies there, isn't there? There's a whole world of screenplays that we can write for Netflix TV series. Remember, you heard it here first. My name's Ian Grant. You can get me. You know. But you know, there's an amazing amount of things that you can.
I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
I'm just going to add humor to this. It makes me think about the IT crowd that the episode when they had the robot and then they screamed out, Windows Vista, it's running Windows Vista.
Yeah. It all comes down to the.
I found the video. I went back and watched it. I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
Yep. Speaking of awesome, TSO hosts, they are awesome. And I love that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. What they're doing is leveraging the things that they do really well, which is help people buy domain names and help people with hosting and bandwidth. And they have given to us the bandwidth we need so that we can stream shows like this to you every week. And they're giving us the server space we need. So there's a place for the British Tech Network website and for all of the recordings so you can watch or listen at your leisure and absorb amazingly highbrow discussions like we had just now. And without the support that they're giving us, we literally would not be here, because the resources it takes to be able to live stream multiple shows every week and then have shows like the Daily News Show there for you, and then have all these recordings for you. I mean, that takes a lot. So we appreciate that TSO Host is here for us. Now, here's what you can do to help show your appreciation. Just go on social media and thank them for being here supporting the British Tech Network. That's super easy to do. If it turns out that you also need to buy a domain name or you need some hosting, hey, hit them up for that too, because they offer really good services. And if you use the discount code BTN20, you'll get 20% off at checkout. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here supporting the British Tech Network. And Patrice, would you please tell people where they can find the chat that has links to all the articles we've talked about today and everything else that we've just been dropping in there?
Oh, totally. That is quite easy and quite nice, I would say. By the way, Dave just posted a link to that video that he mentioned. So if you want to find that, I mean, one, you could just use Google. But the easier and the better way is to head over to British Tech Network and find that. And if you're listening to this live, just come in, like join the chat room, live.britishtechnetwork.com. Sorry, chat.britishtechnetwork.com. That the other one is the live page, chat.britishtechnetwork.com, to go to the live chat, which you can do every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And also, by the way, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Show times sometimes change because of schedules, so I would definitely recommend me. it's not just you, sometimes we all are busy like the other week, so yeah, then just check the website for show times. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. That's what a podcast is for, which is great because the show always starts on time. You can pause it in between, you can skip when I'm talking, all of that. You can still get to the chat. Obviously, you can't live chat because, well, that doesn't work that way. We haven't invented time travel yet, so sorry.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah, that's true. Maybe someone has. But nobody showed up here. Like, I invited a bunch of people, nobody showed. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not interesting enough. I don't know. Anyway, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar where you have to pick today's date, today as we're recording it, not today as you're listening to this. And the recording date is the 1st of December, last month of the year, 2022. And then awesome. You will find everything.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. And now it's time for the cool thing. So who has the first cool thing? And I really hope no one picked mine.
I did pick it. I have a Govee light kit here. And this thing is really cool because it that works with Bluetooth and with Wi-Fi. It's Bluetooth flow bars and light bars and flow bars, and you could have all kinds of fun with the lighting this, you know, this time of year or Christmas. And the best part is it syncs with music, it has a music mode, so it'll sync with your music as well as with the A lady and the G lady, or the G man, whatever you want to call them.
The G man.
UK as well.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. It's not that expensive, like around 50 bucks.
I bought
this as a gift for somebody, and I think the young kid, the family, so I think they're going to like it.
So is that a set of two bars for 50 bucks or 50 bucks a bar?
It is two bars.
Okay, cool.
That's a good price.
Awesome. Oh, and I'm scrolling down the page. If you haven't ordered before, a thing pops up, and if you give them your email, which they'll have anyhow because you're going to buy from them, you get an extra $5 off. Nice.
What I didn't do. Dummy.
Nice. Cool. That costs a lot less than the which light bars do I have? Hue. I have the Hue light bars. They cost a lot more.
I've purchased stuff from Govee before, and they got some good products.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, maybe I'm buying more light bars now. Thanks for that. All right.
Always have to spend your money.
Yeah. It's karma, because I've spent so much money for other people over the years. Yeah.
I can probably look around here, all the things that you've spent my money on.
You're welcome. All right, Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing is a little bit geeky, but as we were talking about TSO hosts, and I switched my cool thing. It is an app called OpenSSH Config Editor. So most people don't, like, if you know what SSH is, that's a good start. It's kind of a way to connect to, like, mostly Linux server, Linux or Mac, like Mac actually also supports it, but mostly Linux servers. It's like a protocol, doesn't matter. But a lot of people don't know is that there is a really, as most things that are from the open source community, there is a really powerful config file that you can have, where you can define, like, predefined different servers and configurations for it and setups and whatnot. And it's not super user-friendly, I would say. It is user-friendly if you know what you're doing. And I've been doing that for, like, whatever, 20 years. So I know how, but yeah, sometimes like a GUI, nice GUI is just nicer and easier to manage. And this is it. OpenSSH Config Editor allows you to edit that config file, and it also, like, can directly open, like, connect to servers. You can just say, I want this server, like, pick from the list of servers, say connect to that. It has even like a taskbar thing. So if you're constantly connecting to servers, you can just go to the taskbar, and just say, connect to that, whatever, connect to the BTN server, and it opens the terminal and connects, and everything's configured exactly how you want it. So it's really cool. It's $9.99 one time, or it is on setup, which is where I found it, and then it's free, basically. So if you're more than once, or, I mean, if you're connecting to SSH more than once or twice a year, this might be for you.
This is for me.
Is. If it's on setup.
Mm-hmm. I use SSH on a regular basis. It's actually wonderful when you have like me, headless Raspberry Pis,
mm-hmm.
and I have to SSH into them on a regular basis, and
or your router, for example, and I'm like, what was the IP address again? What was the user again? All of that you don't need. You just put it in your config file, use OpenSSH editor for it, and then you're done.
This is great. I actually stopped SSHing from my Mac because I didn't know about this. And I do all my SSH from my iPad with Prompt.
Oh, yeah. Prompt is great. I have that too.
Which is sort of like this, but for the iPad.
Mm-hmm. I do that too. That's my when I'm out and about and I just my iPad, I can SSH into machines for that. Yeah. But I mean I have a crap ton of machines on, like for work, for example. And
sure.
Yeah. It's easy to manage it with them, and like once you like you can delete those and all of that. So it's really good.
All right. Well, I guess I'm downloading this today.
Yep, I already have.
All right. So Dave just spent money. And Patrice, you didn't cost me money because of set app, so that's awesome. And Ian, tell us about your cool thing, which is on GitHub. So I think you just saved me money as well. Oh,
it looks like
you can. I already have this installed. Yeah, you can support the dev. So I'm probably gonna be spending. I think he wants something like $14-15 to support the product. So I'm probably going to, because it's really neat. I've got a bit, I've just upgraded and I've got myself a nice big 34 inch, I think it is actually, LCD display, which is fantastic. And I've got away from having multi monitors. I spend a lot of my day presenting. And so I spend a lot of my day with PowerPoint and things. And I want to be able to push my PowerPoint. And normally you have that on a little separate screen. And then you have your notes and all your slides and what have you on the other. You can't do that with only one screen. And also sharing a huge 3K, 4K screen with is kind of, you get complaints from the other members of your thing going, it's way too tiny, I haven't got my glasses on type thing, which I can completely understand. So what you can do with this is you can create virtual dummy displays. So you can create a dummy 1080p display, which is works with most people's laptops these days. And then that becomes the second screen. So you share that in Zoom or Teams. And then when you open up PowerPoint, PowerPoint goes, oh, yeah, there's another monitor, puts the slide over on that screen, and that's the one I share.
That's
super, and that works really, really nice. So, yeah, I've got another pick that I'll throw in as well, because Surrey Setup, there's one application you have that is sadly rubbish, and that's the Clean My Mac for Clean My Mac, iStat menus and things like that. Mm-hmm. It never reads with an M1 Mac. It can't differentiate the used RAM between both your video memory and your memory being used by applications. So it shows you always having 80% of your RAM used, which is not, because some of that's being used by the video rather than being used by the applications you have open. iStatical Pro. They didn't come with that original name. Let me see if I can get the web. I was trying to, while we were talking there, I was trying to find the button which would give me a link to their website. And again, this is another one which is a paid for app. It's, again, another $15, which I'm going to spend. And it puts the, and it actually can work it out. There'd be the thing, and it has a nice little display showing you thing. It's called iStatistical. Pro.
I've heard of that. This is like a win all the way around for me today with the cool things.
There we go. I'm going to throw that one in as well, because I think that's really amazing. Great. There it is. iStatistica Pro. They have a free version as well. I think there's a free version. I'm probably going to, again, but from the, they're the same people who create Lockero and a few other apps, if you know those ones. It's the same guys, but
nice.
They've managed to work out the magic voodoo to be able to separate the GPU memory from the thing. So if you actually want to know how much RAM your machine's using, it's a lot better. Because I was thinking my M1 can't be using 80% of its memory all the time. And now, no, it's not. It's using about 30. That's fine.
Now you know.
Yeah, and I'd much prefer that. So
awesome.
I literally had a discussion about that with someone today where it's like, oh, the RAM is full on this machine. I'm like, no, it's like half of it is cache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes it easy for you to read that information. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
Well, I'm happy to say none of you picked my cool thing this week. Yeah. And I apologize for the time that I'm about to cost you, but I don't apologize that much. My pick is a series on Netflix called 1899. And the premise of the show is you have these people that are on a a ship that's traveling across the Atlantic to the United States, to New York, and it's happening in 1899. And then some weird stuff starts happening on the ship, and now you have this weird mystery thing that people are trying to unravel as their ship is headed across the Atlantic. And I won't say anything else because I don't want to spoil any part of this show for anyone, because part of what makes it so wonderful is that as the story unfolds, you just keep getting these new surprises. And and about the time you think you have it sorted out what's happening, then something else gets revealed where it changes your perspective on what's going on in the show. It's 8 episodes, and it's one season, but it ends with the setup for a next season. So I don't know if that's been approved or not.
I think Netflix usually does 2 seasons. They do the automatic 2 seasons.
Okay, well then in that case, they have a nice setup for season 2 at the end of season 1. Yeah. And
that's also why so many Netflix shows only have 2 seasons.
That makes sense now that you say it. Yep. Yeah, so I started watching this over the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday weekend, just because I wanted to watch something different and relax for an hour or so. And over the course of the weekend, I watched it all 8 episodes. I could not stop. So anyhow, go enjoy it. $18.99 on Netflix. And I didn't cost you anything because you probably already have Netflix.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is in it too.
In 1899.
She is. Huh. Oh, this is not. I'm sorry. This.
You're thinking of Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was wonderfully fun too. I binged that.
It switched on me.
Yeah. Anyhow, so there you go. 1899. Cool. All right. So, wow, what a wonderfully fun show and awesome picks. Patrice, where can people find you?
Oh, that is super easy. I'm here every week on The Big Show on Thursdays, also on The Mac Show on Fridays. You can find everything I'm doing, all the like social media links, including Mastodon, all the projects, all the podcasts, literally anything I'm doing, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, head over to foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me, as usual, here on a Thursday night on The Big Show. That's most of the place to see me. I'm in the Slack, BTN Slack room too. You'll see me in there commenting on things every now and again. If not, you can find me on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant and I work for Veeam. Those are the places, the easiest place to find me.
Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, on YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on, usually on The Big Show once in a while here, and The Mac Show on Fridays, as well as we're on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck Joyner and our great crew of folks there. And I'm on Twitter at DaveG65, Mastodon at DaveG65. You can find me there.
Awesome. And let's see. You can find me on pretty much all the socials as Jay Gamut. On Mastodon, that would be at jgamut@mastodon.social. And I just finished a second month of daily drawings. And so that showed up on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah. And Mastodon.
And Mastodon.
The quick story behind that is I have a friend who missed out on doing Inktober, and she really, really wanted to do a drawing a day, but didn't want to do it alone. And so I said, well, then why don't we do our own Inktober, but we'll just do it in November. And so both of us did a drawing a day through November. So that's done. Nice. Which means that now it's time for me to start my Lego advent calendar. So I'll be doing that after we're done recording today.
Very nice.
Wow. I guess it's been a busy couple months of creativity for me. That's not ending yet. All right. So not on social, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, then here on Thursdays on The Big Show, and then like this evening on In Touch with iOS, Dave's show, and then Fridays on The Mac Show, also The Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again, and then occasionally other shows pop up along the way, so I'm easy to find. And with that, wow, thank you. All three of you are absolutely awesome. And if we were together, you would all be getting big hugs from me, and they would all last just slightly too long, so they become a little bit uncomfortable. And I appreciate that for some of you, this may take a long time before that hug gets awkward. I'm patient. And for all of you that are watching or listening live, hey, thank you for being here. It's awesome that you're here, and so glad you're participating. Everyone that's watching or listening to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Just every one of you, you're all just awesome. A shout out to TSO hosts. Thank you for being here supporting us. Give them some online love on social media. Thanks to Mueller for making sure we have people on the shows every week. And a thanks to Ewan, just because he's like the heart of the British Tech Network and has made sure that we all love this enough that even when he's not available to be here, we still are. Mm-hmm. So everyone, tune in next Thursday for The Big Show again. Don't forget that The Mac Show is tomorrow, so please join us for that. And then everyone, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week.